It is 5:01 PM and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is called to order. Can I have a motion for the approval of the minutes of February 9th for the Finance Committee agenda?
Motion.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Can I have a motion for the minutes of February 9th consent calendar, please?
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. And also, well, it's on here twice, but I'm not sure why. Okay, thank you. Oh, that's right. Okay, very good. Thank you, Madam Clerk. For the second meeting on February 9th, I need a motion. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is bid number 2025-011, found on page 1, collection services and rescue fees.
Good evening. Kyla Jones, tax collector.
Kyla, could you just speak into the mic, please?
Better.
Yeah, thank you.
The City of Warwick Tax Collector's Office is requesting a 612 alteration of contract for bid 2025-11, collection services for taxes and rescue fees. We're requesting to extend the current contract for the additional terms and condition for 2 more years and increase the spending authority of $150,000 to be split between two accounts, 22360 and 302408. Rossi's cost of collection is based on the amounts collected. They receive 14.5% from their letter campaign and 24% from litigation accounts and rescue fees. Their letter campaign began in July of 24, and to date, Rossi has assisted with collecting over $2 million of motor vehicle, personal property, and rescue fees. The extension is needed so Rossi can continue to pursue the remaining delinquent and legal accounts. If we were to buy back the legal accounts, we would have to be responsible for all the court costs, which is approximately $18,000. Rossi's been extremely helpful with collecting the delinquent taxpayer accounts, and I'd like to continue working with them. And I'm here for any questions if you have any.
I'm sorry?
I'm here for any questions, okay, too, if you have any.
Have any questions from members of the committee, first of all? Okay, so Kyler, I sent off some questions that I had, and I received some of the answers. One of the questions I asked was when this bid was first awarded, and that was on July 1st, 2024. Another question I asked, it was a two-part question. One is how much money was collected versus owed in each contract year. And I have received the answer of what was collected, but what I'm also looking for is what was sent over to Rossi in fiscal year 2024 for collections.
So I kind of answered that one along with your question for number 4. So there was approximately $8 million sent over in July of 24 for their letter campaign. There's
Kyla, could you talk into the mic? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
July of 24, we sent Rossi for motor vehicle personal property taxes approximately $8 million to collect for us.
Yeah, I saw that. And the total collected since 2024 is approximately $2 million. So that means there's still $6 million hanging out there that wasn't collected, right?
Yes.
Okay. But that doesn't break it down for me by the year.
So when they started the letter campaign, it was July of 24. They're still working on that campaign. From 2017 delinquent tax bills through 21 for motor vehicle, because that's when that stopped. So there's no additional motor vehicle. And for the personal property, it was July, so it was 2017 to 2024 taxes. I have not sent them a new file as of yet because it would only be the 25 personal property taxes, and we're still in that current year for collection. So I haven't sent them any new accounts since July of 24.
So we have taxes that are owed from 2017 that haven't been collected yet?
Yes.
And it's Rossi's job to collect it?
Yes.
And why haven't they collected it?
Some people, I don't know if you remember, I've come to council before for deceased taxpayers. Some has since died. They ask that we write it off. Some corporations are defunct and no longer exist, so they can't collect on them. People move and don't respond to their letter campaign. And I believe they're only licensed to file suit in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Florida. So if they move to a different state, they'd have to try to contract out someone, or we'd have to go with another company to try to locate that person.
When you say we have people that move, are these people who owe property taxes?
Property taxes are paid at the time of a sale.
So
for real estate,
if they're delinquent in property taxes, isn't there a tax lien on that property?
Not for motor vehicle and personal property unless Rossi files suit.
Say again?
Not for motor vehicle or personal property taxes unless Rossi files suit.
When was the motor vehicle taxes stopped? I know Rob Cody was the driving force behind that, but I don't remember when that stopped.
When motor vehicle taxes stopped? The last bill year was 2021.
2021 mm-hmm. is when the motor vehicle taxes went away.
That was the last year they were
complete,
billed.
Yeah.
It was July of 21.
And to date, Rossi has collected approximately $2 million, right?
Yes.
And we have paid them approximately $300,000 to collect that.
Yes.
How is their fee determined?
A percent of what they collect.
Based upon what they collect?
Mm-hmm.
And is that at the 15% rate?
14.5% is the letter campaign, and legal accounts and rescue billing is 24%.
And does Rossi report to you or someone on a regular basis as to where they stand with what they have for a book of business to collect and what they've collected and what is in the courts or however they do it? Do you get an accounting of those additional $6 million of outstanding debt?
Every month they report what they collected and their outstanding amounts I can request at any time.
It says here, and I'm not sure if you were the one providing the answers. I believe they came from the chief, but that really doesn't matter. It says Rossi currently has approximately 1.5 million rescue. So how do we end up with rescue fees that we can't collect? Aren't these rescue fees from the communities that we service or from the insurance companies?
Yes, most of the time they go through insurance, but on some occasions they can't locate the person taking the ambulance. Maybe they're homeless, or maybe they don't provide an accurate address.
Are there any insurance companies that owe us money that we haven't collected?
No.
No. So this rescue fees, this would be from individuals?
Yes.
Individuals outside of the city?
It could be.
Because the residents don't get charged for rescue service, right?
Correct. They do not get charged.
They do not. So these outstanding rescue fees would be from people outside the city?
Most likely.
Well, that's concerning. I'll have to follow up with you on that one, Kyla. That's actually quite concerning. $1.5 million in personal rescue fees that are owed to the city that we haven't collected. Okay, so ultimately what you're looking for is for an approval to continue on with Rossi for these collections.
Yes.
And why have you or the administration decided not to go out for a new bid on this?
We have the same three companies bidding year after year. So the last bid that went out in 24, we had someone that we had as a vendor before that never produced any income for the city. They had a contract and never even got a mailing out. Rossi was the middle bidder. And the other one was higher fees than Rossi was. So we stayed with them, being that they have a good reputation with the city and have done collections for us for some time now. And their rates haven't changed year after year.
And Rossi has agreed to extend this for another 2 years, right?
Yes.
At the same terms and the same conditions?
Yes.
So this is $75,000 a year?
Yes.
That number of $75,000 a year, is that included in the $298,000 that Rossi has been paid, or is that up and above?
So if you take the contract for a four-year term, the total would be $520,000.
Okay.
The first year we were at, the first 2 years we were at $210,000. Then I requested another $150,000. Their letter campaign really brought in a lot of income in the beginning of the year. So I asked for an extension then, and this would be for the additional $150,000 for 2 years.
I couldn't hear the last thing that you said, but I'm just going to, I want to be sure I'm clear. So the number of $75,000 per year, that number is dollars and cents that paid to them based upon the percentage of their commission, we'll say, of what they collect. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kyla. Any other questions? Any questions from, yes, Councilman Napper.
Thank you, Director. These are just some questions that came to me as I'm listening to you testify tonight. When does Rossi Law make the determination, or whose determination is it when they actually file suit?
They would initiate it after the letter campaign, and they've located the person and corresponded back and forth, and with no collection activity, they would then send our office an affidavit to be signed to move forward and pursue suit. So they would, once in a while, we would initiate and say, where are we with this one? Most of the time, they present them to us.
Okay, so it ultimately falls on the city, makes a determination as which accounts are appropriate for suit and which are not?
Yes.
Okay. And then now this is just an assumption, but correct me if I'm wrong. Once we transfer the file over to Rossi, any late fees and penalties cease. Is that correct?
No.
They keep running?
Interest still accrues at 1% a month on the unpaid balance in the account.
Even after you transfer the debt over?
Yes.
Okay. And when do you anticipate to send them a new packet of debts owed?
I would most likely wait until after July to complete the 25 personal property tax bill, because they have everything prior to that.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll just need a PCR on this.
Oh, sure. Madam Clerk. Thank you. Any questions from members of the public? Please.
Thank you. Hi, Ann Sheridan,
Hello.
Ward 9. My first question is, do we know how many of the personal property outstanding charges of 2017?
Kyla, go ahead.
Hang on one second.
And I'm going to follow up with 18 and 19 as well.
Could you repeat that question?
So I'd like to know how many personal property bills are outstanding for 2017, 2018, and 2019? How many are there and how much is it?
Individual properties you're talking, not dollars and cents?
Well, both.
Total properties?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have the number of bills, but dollar amount, 17's about 200,000, 18's about...
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
2017's about 200,000, 2018's about 207, 2019's about 250.
And do we know if all of these companies still operate in Rhode Island?
At this moment, no, but Rossi can give me a list of defunct corporations.
And do, okay, so if they're corporations and they've gone out of business, are we chasing our tail? Because a few months or last year, we wrote off a lot of money, over $1 million in uncollected. These bills are 9 years old. Shouldn't we be writing off 17, 18, and 19? And then strongly pursue the current ones? And does your office do a letter campaign?
Yes.
Aggressively over maybe the city solicitor's name before going to Rossi?
Every year the collector's office sends out a delinquent list. Those don't all get responded to, and that's when we send it off to legal counsel, which is Rossi at that time, to collect for us.
So how many times do we message them? Do we bill delinquents? Notices
well,
to collect?
The motor vehicle, we haven't any longer because we don't have new motor vehicle bills. Personal property, we send at least once a year. However, if a delinquent taxpayer sends in their payment, we then at that time send them a balance due notice.
I just think that maybe we could do a better job of collecting, you know, trying to push open bills. I mean, as far as the motor vehicles are concerned, how much is owed in motor vehicles? And how old are they?
I took the last 10 years in doing this reporting. I don't have the motor vehicle broken out separately from the personal property. I have it all lumped together.
Oh, just one last question. So does when Mr. Rossi goes to court, does he pick up all of the expenses out of his share or is that deducted out of the city's share?
The delinquent taxpayer has to pay the court costs at the time of the hearing. The city still gets their outstanding taxes. minus the 24% that they charge for their collection fees.
So the city gets all the, okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Kyla, I have a follow-up question. When was the last time you or the administration has received a report from Rossi pertaining to all their activities, the accounts they have, the total amounts of accounts that they have in collection, what their court activity has been, what the results are, what is dead and gone? Have you ever gotten a report from Rossi like that?
Yes, some of those reports I got just this past month in preparing some of these answers for you.
Okay.
And the defunct corporation, deceased taxpayer, ones they just can't find, collect on, every month when they give me their report, they also add in those individual accounts.
Okay. I'd like to request a copy of the most recent report that you've received from Rossi, actually speaking to their activities, of which we're paying them so far $300,000 for. I'd like to have a copy of the report showing the activity that they have had with the city. I'm not going to take it back to 2017, but to 2024, okay? Thank you. I'm just making a note here. Kyla, when do you think that they would, or you will be able to provide that to me?
I can work on it this week.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. On PCR 38-26, formerly 2025-011, I need a motion. We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyla. Sorry.
Just confirming that was going to the floor of the PCR.
Yeah, it's a PCR 38-26, and it's favorable action from the committee. Okay, item number 2, 2026-433, found on page 5, purchase various Motorola police radios.
Good evening, Robert Hart for the police department.
Good evening, Major.
Good evening, sir. The police department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid to purchase portable and mobile Motorola radio equipment for the Warwick Police Department in the amount of $142,981.18. This would be from Cybercom of Warwick, who is our Motorola dealer for the region. This request is centered on our department's need to continue transitioning from an aging analog radio system to a modern digital platform. The department started this process in 2023 with major upgrades to our radio infrastructure. Digital radio technology provides significantly improved audio, clarity, reliability, and overall performance. In addition, a digital system allows us to meet the FBI's CJIS expectations for secure communications. The ability to implement 256-bit secure communication is becoming the standard nationwide. Many of our current radios do not have this capability and will not support a future transition. The radios included in this request are fully compatible with our existing infrastructure. It will allow us to gradually modernize our inventory, replacing outdated equipment while preparing for future compliance requirements.
Thank you, Major. And thank you for following up with me on the questions that I asked. There was a couple of questions that the chief of staff followed up on that you weren't involved in. And one of the questions I asked was, how did you arrive, or how did whoever arrive at that number of $142,981.18? And essentially, what I received was what's in the binder that adds up to $142,981. I asked the question for a reason, because there is a problem with the numbers, but no one took the time to dig into it. So let's just straighten it out right now. The number that is on our sheet right here, showing all our bid items, as well as the dollar and cents issue on page 5 in our binder, it has $142,918.18. And that is not correct. What you have requested in your request, Major, is $142,981. So before I go on with anything else, Madam Clerk, I need another PCR for this, please. Thank you, PCR 3926. And at least right now, we have to change that number that is in our bid package from $142,918.81 to $142,981.18. That is the number that you need, right, Major? Okay.
Correct, sir.
Okay. So let's get that fixed. And also, these numbers that I was working on, as was pointed out to me on Easter Sunday, which is true, that's exactly what I was doing on Easter Sunday, is going through this binder. These are numbers that, in information that was provided to us on March 26th from our Director of Legislative Affairs to keep us updated on what we're asking for. Bear with me, Major. Major, we had recently approved some monies for radios, I believe it was.
In this fiscal year, sir?
Yes, sir.
You did. You approved money for 4 radios for the mobile command post.
Got it. Okay. Major, one of the questions that I had asked, and I don't recall if I got it or not, how much has, percentage-wise, has those radios increased over the last 5 years?
It's gone up and down dramatically. That spreadsheet that we sent you had the prices on there. And I believe, let's see, just for an example, in 2021, a portable radio was approximately $2,000, $2,074.50.
For the record, Major, excuse me to interrupt you, I do have that spreadsheet that was sent out to me earlier this morning. I'll be honest with you, I need you to read it because it's so small, I can't read it.
Well, that makes two of us because it's printed up pretty small for me, but I'll try my best.
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
It was great on my computer screen, not so much right here.
But anyway, it was sent to you that way. Now I feel better that it was sent to me that way. Thank you.
Anyway. 2021, a portable radio was approximately $2,074.50. It went down the next year a little bit to about $1,700. And then back in 2023, it jumped dramatically to $2,867.93. And it's gone up again to $3,008 and I believe 7 cents. And now because they've discontinued that radio, we're up to about $4,600, $4,700 a radio. So the prices have just continued. Other than that one dip that one year, they just keep going up.
And from what I see and learned through some of my own research, it doesn't make any sense financially to start switching over radios.
It doesn't, because then you have to buy different chargers, different speaker mics, different software to program them. We're very content with Motorola. We did try a few Kenwoods last year, which do have good audio quality, but they're bulky. The cases don't hold up as well as the Motorolas do. Motorola's just the workhorse radio. It's the truth. It is what it is.
Well, thank you for that, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Major, I'm sorry I didn't ask this question earlier, but the purchase of these, they don't come with a warranty for kind of, I mean, you guys are out in the field running around doing your thing. I imagine these fall sometimes and get broken in the field as just part of the ordinary course of business. I'm assuming they don't offer any sort of warranty for that sort of damage?
For wear and tear like that, if we were to drop it, no, but we have service contracts that we can get them fixed. The warranty is for internal defects.
Yeah.
So if the chip inside of it goes bad or whatever, or the antenna breaks without us wear and tear, then they would fix that. But when we break, we have to fix.
The normal wear and tear pieces like the antenna or the knobs on the top, I imagine those fall off fairly often. Those are pretty readily available to replace those at a low cost.
They are. And you would, wouldn't believe it, but an antenna for a multi-band portable radio is $130.
I believe it. Yeah. That's crazy. All right. That's all I have. Thank you, Major.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Muto.
Hi, Major.
Sir.
What line item is this coming out of?
3271, which is the radio budget.
Okay. Recently, you received, the department received communication grant money. Is this eligible for that grant money?
It's not. The grant money only covers interoperable radios, which covers the City of Warwick system, the state system. These are just for the City of Warwick system. But the radios that we are going to get for them are going to be a big help.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Major. Any questions from members of the council? Any members of the council have any questions? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from the members of the public on PCR 39-26? Hearing none, I need a motion on that, please. Okay, you're right. So the amendment, I'll make a motion to amend PCR 3926, formerly 2026-433, in the amount of moving from $142,918.18 to the new total of $142,981.18. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. Any questions from the committee? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for that.
Motion.
Now I need to move favorable on PCR 39-26.
Second.
We have motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
A motion by Councilman Muto, a second by Councilman Foley. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is 2027-004. It's item number 3. It's found on page 13 of Janitorial Services for Department of Public Works.
Good evening, Chris Moretti.
Supplies, sorry. I'm sorry, janitorial supplies.
That's okay. Chris Moretti, Public Works. We are requesting to award this bid to five different vendors in the amount of $60,000 for a one-year period, beginning June 25th, 26, expiring June 24th, 27.
Thank you, Christy. So you have five line items that you're going to be drawing out of. And is there the adequate balance in each one of those?
There is. And I'm not sure if I don't think this requires a
Not sure of what, please?
I don't think this requires a PCR, but I did actually, now that I'm looking at it, I left off the plaza, which should be 44281 as well as a budget code.
It does or it does not have?
It does belong there. I'm just looking at this. I inadvertently left it off the recommendation memo. So we can add $5,000 for that code and reduce 66,281 to 25,000. But all in all, the award will still be the same at $60,000.
Okay, so you need us to change these numbers?
I don't think it requires a PCR, but I'm not sure.
Well,
these budget codes aren't listed on the resolution, so it's just the dollar amount, and that's not changing.
Okay, so for some reason, I'm having a hard time understanding things this evening through the room. Let's start with 41,281. Is that amount still 7,500?
Yes.
42,281. Is that still 7,500?
Yes.
66,281, still 30,000?
25,000.
That's going to 25,000?
Yes.
Okay. And 70,281?
Is correct.
That's 10,000. And 65,239?
Also correct.
That's also correct. So you're actually looking for $5,000 less?
No. I need to add budget code 44,281 for $5,000.
44,281 for $5,000. Okay, thank you for
that,
Christy.
So the dollar amount will remain okay. 60,000.
Got it. Okay, thank you. To the city clerk, I'm sorry, city council, do we need to make any PCR changes to this? The 60,000 stays the same. It's simply the categories that she's looking to withdraw from.
No PCR is needed. The amounts on the bid package itself are correct. This is back-end paperwork that the record now reflects that those adjustments okay. will be made.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you, Christy. Christy, I know that the department has been moving towards some two-year purchases contracts on these. I'm curious, why haven't you looked for a two-year on this item?
These prices can tend to fluctuate a bit, so we were looking to see if we could get some better pricing. Right now, they're kind of static, but in the future, they could be more, they could be less. So there are certain bids that we do for 2 years, but these commodities aren't necessarily one of them.
And I realize some of these vendors, or I think, couple of them anyways, you've just eliminated it all together, and I can see and understand why. But I don't understand why you're recommending Have It Made LLC when at least the half a dozen or more items that I've looked at from them is like crazy more money than WB Mason. As an example, the new white Terry half towels, this Have It Made is $163 and WB is $101. And it's that type of difference throughout. Another item, the ProLink Rich and Creamy Hand Soap, Have It Made is $56 and WB is $27.34. And I didn't take the time to go through every single one of these just because I didn't have the time to go through them. But I don't know why they should even be considered as a vendor when at least the numbers that I have looked at are so much higher than WB.
So
ridiculously higher.
If you look at the recycled terry towels for on WB Mason, or even the cotton rags, the 50-pound box, it's, and I don't know if you can see it, it is very small on the side, but they're sold as 25-pound boxes at $101.
Say that again?
on WB Mason.
Yes.
Either one of the rags that are on this bid for WB Mason, on the side, there's an asterisk, and it says sold as 25-pound.
You're talking on the Terry White towels?
Yes. No, I see what you, well.
Right.
So the majority, the reason why we ask for multiple vendors is not because, it's more because of supply. You know, if we, there's certain things that we use in certain buildings and certain things that don't work in other buildings. We're trying to streamline most of our paper products so all the buildings have the same dispensers and things like that, but it takes us a little bit of time to get there. But, you know, there's, you know, certain cleaning items that we would use, say, at McDermott Pool or the arena that they wouldn't necessarily use in City Hall. So that's why we have multiple vendors, then we'll go by price, then availability. So we always buy from the cheapest vendor first. And then, you know, if we need it, if we have a more immediate need or if we can wait, depends on the delivery. So that's why we're asking for multiple vendors. At the end of the day, we are always going to go with the least expensive vendor.
Well, the items that I'm looking at are, it's not like these are, you know, high-tech items or items that, you know, are not on the shelf at every grocery store or at Salk's or any other place for that matter. And to even consider a vendor who is so wildly priced on, as an example, Drano, Max Clog. If WB Mason doesn't have it, I'm sure Stop and Shop would have it. This company right here, this Have It Made, is $114 for a case, and WB is $28.42. This company makes no sense whatsoever. I don't think that this should even be included. You have other vendors. You'll still have one, two, three, four other vendors for basic everyday items that just come off the shelf at any local store. So to even have them in makes no sense to me whatsoever. So do you have a problem with removing them from this bid?
No.
Thank you. Okay. And I have no idea who that company is, by the way. I'm just going simply from a business perspective. I know I certainly wouldn't include them when they're so much higher than someone else. Any other questions? Yes, Councilman Foley. All right, we can do that right now, sure. Madam Clerk, PCR, please. Thank you. PCR 4026. Okay, so I'm going to start with making an amendment right now to remove Have It Made. Councilman Foley. No, I think we can do the amendment first, then we can ask around. The amendment's coming from the committee. So I make a motion to remove Have It Made from the vendor list, leaving WB Mason, Glove Cleaners, Arrow Paper, and Lycar Maintenance as the prospective vendors.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor on
aye.
The... Sorry. Okay. Now, any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the amendment? Any questions from members of the public on the amendment? Hearing none, I need a motion on the amendment, please.
Favorable action.
Second. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor on the amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I need to have a motion on PCR 40.
Hold on.
Madam Clerk? Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I know. I get the same exact thing. It's very difficult for some reason hearing what people are saying. Thank you. Okay, we have, I need a motion on PCR 40-26 as amended.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Next item. Item is a revenue item. So I guess let's hear it. It's item number four, 2026-415, found on page 50.
Good evening, Tom Rourke, Greenwood Credit Union, City Hall Plaza. The DPW is seeking council approval for a bid submitted for the Greenwood Credit Union City Hall Plaza for roller skate rentals. The DPW recommends Legacy Hospitality Group, 50 Industrial Circle in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Legacy Hospitality Group has been in the hospitality industry for over 20 years with the experience in operating public-facing, recreational, hospitality, and event venues with a particular focus on ice and roller skating rinks. Specific rinks include Bryant Park, Governor's Island, and Canal Side in New York. Legacy Hospitality will be able to provide the city a service with their functional expertise with the skate rental industry. They will bring a turnkey operation, saving the city money in staffing and equipment costs. The agreement with Legacy Hospitality would be for a 12% profit share for the city for skate rental purchases only, and the skate rental would be $6 per pair, coming to 72 cents per rental.
Okay, bear with me here. Okay, so everyone's clear, this is for roller skate rental services. This will be for the City Hall Plaza. And at least as of the time I left my office, I don't recall receiving answers to my questions for that item. Chief, I'm going to direct this to you. Did you have a chance to get the answers to those questions? I know I just sent them off on Easter Sunday, but
did yes, Councilman, they came in around 3:30 and I got sidetracked, so I didn't have a chance to send them to you.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I figured we could answer them now.
What's that?
I figured we could answer them now.
Sure. Go ahead. The first question was total operational expenses, including all utilities. Let's start with that.
So I received this from the finance department this morning. So all operational cost year to date is $121,290.
It's what, please?
$121,290.
200 and what?
90.
90. Zero. Okay. But we don't have a breakdown of things that I've asked for in this item, right? Individually.
I have like salaries, overtime. Some of the things are missing as far as utilities on here.
How about snow removal?
I don't believe is accounted for. That would have to ask Lynn specifically.
Somebody had to plow the snow out of there.
We don't break down snow removal for any department.
Okay. Propane gas, is that part of it? The 121,000?
Yeah.
Okay. And I can understand where in such short notice you wouldn't have the other items, but I would be looking to get those. And how about total revenue from the day that opened to current day?
To the last day. So that was $62,404.45.
All right, so total revenue is $62,404. What is the average skater total per day?
101 people.
101 people per day?
Yeah, you guys, an average is what you were looking for?
Yeah.
About 100 people per day.
How do you track that?
So I have the Clover system, so that'll track general admission, children, seniors, veterans, so we can see how many come in. Where it does get a little cloudy is if it's a private rental, where you know they pay the flat fee for the rental, and then they have however many people show up. And there were also some other events as well that involved elementary schools that showed up and skated as well.
So let me rephrase the question: how many people have paid to use the ice since it's opened?
I'd say around 6,700 people.
6,700 people. And how many actual days have we had that this ice rink is open?
It's been 67.
It's been open 67 days since
Operational days.
Operational days. Okay.
Councilman, as a follow-up to the revenue question, Bill Fazenti, Chief Staff, that revenue number that Director Rourke gave you does not include the annual Greenwood Credit Union sponsorship, which is $60,000 a year for 5 years. That the revenue he gave you is just what was taken in at the rink, including the sponsorships on the boards and things like that.
Plus Greenwood sponsor.
Of $60,000.
Okay, thank you. And for all of these numbers that we've just been given, 62,404, 121,290, 101 people per day paying to use this ice rink, you have actual numbers for all of that?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you keep track of the people that are coming to skate? They buy a ticket? Is it a ticket receipt? Is it, you know, is there a counter, or how does that all work?
Yeah, they get the receipt. We also hand out a wristband, but the system itself will track how many general admission, how many children admissions. The Clover system itself tracks that data.
And the 101 average per day, does that include the children that are going in for free?
No.
No, it's strictly paying people.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And the expected revenue out of this, you're saying it averages $100.80 a day. That's about 40% higher than what you're incurring right now, because you're saying you're getting about 101 per day, and in order to generate $100.80 at a 72 cent reimbursement, you'd need to generate 140 rentals per day. So do you think that number is a bit aggressive?
It is. I based it off of two sessions that we're looking to have, based on the potential of 140 for the rink capacity. So,
And how did this number of 12% for the skate rental, how was that agreed on? Did they just...
It's what they submitted on their bid, was 12%.
Basing it on what?
That's what they submitted in their bid package, was 12%.
Okay, so they said, we'll give you 12%.
Correct.
Okay. Now, where is they operating from? Are they operating from a source off-site, or do they also have use of that building in the back?
They'll be using the facilities at the City Hall Plaza.
So are they paying any rent for those facilities? So they're in there for free, as well as the ice skating rental people. They're in there for free as well.
Correct.
Okay. Is anyone paying to use that building other than the taxpayers?
To use the building? No.
No. Okay. So we have no paying rentals. Is the space that the roller skating folks are using, is that a different space than the ice skating folks are using?
No, same.
Same space. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's all the questions I have for right now. Any questions from the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi, good evening, Councilman. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. I'm not singling out this expense per se, but I want to keep coming up to the mic and ask, is this all in our last year's budget, or where's this money coming from?
Chief?
Bill Fazenti, so this is a revenue item. There is no expense. We get revenue from the ice skating rent, roller skating rentals. This is always part of the plan for the City Hall Plaza. ice skating in the winter, bumper cars, roller skating like they had at Shoals on Saturday nights, disco, rock music, whatever it was. I wasn't around then. I am old, but not that old. And also concerts and other events. So this is always anticipated in the revenue generating. So there is no expense per se. To the councilman's point, they are using the facility. This is the first year we're open. This is the first year we're having both ice skate rentals and roller skate rentals. It's a learning curve for the city on what is making money and what is not. So that's how we're making our decision. We may take over some of the rentals, depending on staff, and you know, it depends on how it goes. So it is not an expense, it's a revenue. We're getting 12% for every roller skate that's rented.
So I guess my question is there investment of taxpayer money for these expenses at all?
No.
Are they coming before the council to ask for taxpayer revenue to jumpstart this program or not?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you then. I'm all set on this one. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. The rest of the items are below the $50,000 cap. I'm sorry. Any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any other questions from members of the public? Okay. The rest of the items are below the $50,000 cap. Does anyone on the committee have anything they want to hold out? Councilman Muto?
Item number six, 2027-009, printing services.
Okay. Anything else, Councilman?
Nope. I think that was it. That was it.
Councilman Napa, did you have anything? Councilman Foley, no. I'm going to hold out number five, firefighting vessel maintenance and repairs, found on page 58. Anything from any members of the committee? Any members of the council have anything they want to have held out? Anything from members of the council? Members of the public, are there any items that you want to have held out for discussion? Any members of the public have anything you want held out? Hearing none. Okay, we'll move to item number five, found on page 58.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umman Howe from the Fire Department.
Thank you, Chief. Also, thank you for answering my questions so promptly. I think, as we've said time and again, you pretty much anticipate what my questions are. I think you kind of have that down. And some of my questions were, and I'm just putting this on the record so folks will know the questions that we're asking. There was questions on maintenance, on electronics, what's included, what the warranties are. One of the items that caught my attention was the Glenn Denning synchronizer, and I was questioning what vessel the fire department could possibly have that requires a Glenn Denning synchronizer, and you provided that information. So you also said that typically this bid covers ongoing necessary repairs during the season and off-season maintenance. No special or specific is on this bid right now, so we don't have anything broken or half broken or needs fixing right now.
Yeah, well, we're currently under the current bid that's in place right now, and there's some
right.
work being finished on that. I think most of that work is done mm-hmm. getting ready for the season. So yeah, we don't have anything anticipated until next spring okay. or off season when we do our normal preventative maintenance, look at the bottom of the boat, sure. see if they need paint and all that stuff.
So this is basically spending authority up to $48,000.
Correct.
Which will include painting the bottom and changing zincs and, you know, all those things that you said your go-to guy knows all about.
If you say so, yes.
Okay. By the way, too, I want to just acknowledge all the department heads that are before us tonight. As best I can see, all the bid requests have been presented to us on time, and we do appreciate that. Thank you. Chief, anything else that you want to say on this? I'm all set.
Nope.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Chief, just a question. I'm not sure if the chairman's feeling well tonight. Your list prices where is your list price come from?
So, Chief, you stand down. I will speak to Councilman Knapper.
Talk about marine list prices.
That's called, you talk about Glendennings. This is called the Glendig. So that's a great question, Councilman Knapper. And I did see all those blank spaces. However, it's pretty much impossible for them to list pots that they don't even know they're going to need at this particular time. And he is looking for spending authority. So I chose to concur with him on that item. But thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. I don't want you to think that I fell asleep. I didn't. How's that, Chief?
Thank you.
You owe me one. Got you off the hook with the councilman.
Told you to go easy on me.
Any other questions? Legit questions.
Okay.
Members of the public, any comments or questions? Any comments or questions on Councilman Knapper's question? No. Okay, good. Hearing none. We're all set on that item. There's what, please? Yes, Councilman Muto. Item number 6, found on page 62.
Good evening, Jerry Ouellette, Water Department.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. More of a clarifying question. The spending authority or contract award is for $30,000, but the bids come in at 24 change. So it looks like you're asking for about 23% more spending authority than the bid you're recommending?
Correct. We weren't sure what the bids were going to come in, so we went with best guesstimate.